Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This week, we're joined by Curtis Long, president and CEO of the Rochester Philharmonic Orchestra. Welcome.
Thank you. Very happy to be in the studio.
Lots going on in the RPO. Certainly lots to get to. Very exciting stuff. Let's jump right into one of the things that with the new Elton John movie that is out, that's got to be one of the most relevant things here, is the music of Elton John.
That's right. At the RPO, we have seen the world is changing for us.
Sure.
And some of our traditional concerts reach a traditional audience. And in order to broaden our audience, we're trying to pay attention to what's hot in popular culture and
sure.
find ways to put together concerts which build on things that people are paying attention to and aware of. And Elton John is getting a lot of attention right now with Rocket Man
yes.
out in theaters, and we're excited to have a fantastic program of music of Elton John coming up in a few weeks.
And it is really amazing to see, I mean, songs that we all know so well performed by the RPO. And I think that speaks, again, not just in this instance, but how you mentioned kind of following maybe more of the trends a little bit than certainly the classics, which you guys cover as well. But that just goes to show even maybe more so the talent of the musicians that they're able to do that.
That is very true. I think there was a day when musicians went to conservatories thinking they were going to spend their whole life playing Tchaikovsky and Brahms.
Sure.
And in today's world, they know that in order to serve our community and draw audiences from throughout Greater Rochester, we're going to have to do quite a variety of music. And that's one of the biggest changes you see at orchestras and at the RPO is in the old days, we played a very limited amount of music, very consistent kind of music, aimed at an audience that knew and loved that music.
Mm-hmm.
And in today's world, while the favorites, Tchaikovsky and Brahms and Beethoven, are still at the core of what we do, in order to survive and thrive and serve the community, we have to have a much broader view of what our programming should be.
Even more than that, too, when you think about becoming a little more mass appeal, it makes everything bring people in that maybe they wouldn't. You know, if someone comes because they love Elton John music and they've never seen the RPO perform before and they're so blown away because I can only imagine they're going to do an amazing job, you know, that could open up doors to anything, really.
That is very true. And we want to be in the mind of people throughout Greater Rochester. The orchestra has a fantastic variety of programs. They play really well. And we have fantastic venues we play in, especially the Eastman Theater, which is a beautiful old theater, great tradition. And when we get people in the door for the first time, the RPO becomes on their radar screen, and maybe they'll turn around and say, I'm going to go check out something coming up in the fall or something coming up later in the summer.
So the music of Elton John, that's happening on July 19th.
That
and
is
where
right.
is that happening?
That is at Kodak Hall at the Eastman Theater.
Okay. And now you mentioned that you play at certainly many different venues here. I know you guys also have some upcoming shows at Bristol Mountain as well.
That's right.
Now explain this to me.
So in the old days, the RPO used to play at what was called the Finger Lakes Performing Arts Center, I think, at the time, which is now CMAC.
Yes.
And a lot of people have very fond memories of the days when you could bring in a picnic and a bottle of wine and sit down and relax in a relaxed setting and listen to the RPO play music under the stars. And as CMAC has evolved and become more of a pop venue, and we still play concerts there, we've been looking for a place to replicate some of the picnic and wine under the stars
kind
and bring in
casual
chairs, right? And we tried last year for the first time. We played a concert down at the bottom of the slopes at Bristol Mountain.
It's That's awesome.
Beautiful setting. We put up a stage. The orchestra is under a tent. People can bring their families. The kids can run around and play frisbee. And it was really a magical evening. So we're excited to be coming back for two performances this summer. The first one is July 6th, and it is a patriotic program in befitting the 4th of July celebration. And then a couple weeks later, we're back for a program that'll be kind of light classics under the stars. So
come
check us out at Bristol Mountain this July.
And then, of course, like you said, going with the trends, and it's a trend that's been around for as long as I've been alive, but Star Wars.
Well, right. Star Wars. It's funny. The initial origins of the Eastman Theater and the orchestra that plays at the Eastman Theater was playing music for silent films.
Really? Okay, interesting.
And in a way, we're getting back to our roots and this idea of showing films and having the orchestra play the soundtrack live is something which has really been taking off in recent years.
Yeah, you guys have done this now for how many years? It's been, I know what you've done in the past. Home Alone's been one. Little Mermaid, I believe, was
Indiana
recent.
Indiana Jones. Yeah. And even years ago, we did a little bit of it. We did The Wizard of Oz, I think, several years ago. But in the last 3 or 4 years, this has really started to take off, and there's lots and lots of movies coming online that are available to do for this kind of program. And it's been a fantastic way for the orchestra to connect to some new audiences. So,
well, especially when you think of you know, movies that you've named that have iconic soundtracks. I mean, that really, a lot of these, it drives the movie, right?
Very true. And John Williams is a household name and an amazing composer, and he's written the scores for so many films that are ingrained in the public's awareness. And while we do a lot of different kinds of films with lots of different kinds of scores, but movies like Harry Potter and Star Wars are really fantastic orchestrations and a great way to bring in audiences and deliver a really amazing way to see such a familiar movie that people know and love.
Sure, and in a different way, and it adds to it, it's a different experience, which, you know, that's not something that necessarily is easy to do. I mean, you might have your favorite films and you can watch them a million times, but that added layer of having the music performed live is just, it's incredible. It's an incredible idea. I love it.
It is. It's been a fantastic thing for the orchestra, and we have more films coming up. You mentioned Little Mermaid, but that's actually a film that we're going to be doing next season.
Ah, okay.
On March 14th of 2020. And we're hoping that people will sign up for a subscription so they can get their tickets for Little Mermaid sometime soon.
Yeah, let's talk about that. Now, you talk about how things are kind of changing, and you talked about as far as what's performed and how you're following maybe more popular trends a little bit. Again, we're always doing the classics, and we'll get back to that in a second. But even when it comes to the subscriptions, things are changing a little bit, and you're being a little more flexible, I guess you could say.
That's true. In the old days, orchestra audiences were fairly small, but they signed up for the whole season. Mm-hmm. So our entire audience came 14 times a year, and our challenge was pretty much that they knew what they liked and they liked what they knew.
Sure.
So as long as we didn't let the music director program too much crazy new music,
yeah,
the audience was pretty likely to renew and come back next season, and a fairly homogenous set of taste within our audience. And the new world, we still have people who sign up for a whole season, and we love our season subscribers, and there's lots of reasons why people should consider buying a subscription. But the reality is a lot of people are not going to sign up for 9 concerts or 14 concerts and commit that many days that far in advance. There's so much competition.
Sure,
there's
options. Is that a product of how much media is out there to consume?
It is, and people are making last-minute decisions. They don't want to commit an evening a year and a half from now. They want to wait and see what else is happening that weekend.
Sure.
And what's on Netflix and what their options are for the weekend. So in response to that, while we still love our subscribers and we still program for our subscribers, we're constantly kind of pushing the edges and trying new things on the margins and seeing what we can do that will draw an audience that makes sense from a business point of view. And over the last 4 or 5 years, you may have noticed the RPO has been doing a lot of new things.
Mm-hmm.
And some of them have been quite successful, and some of them haven't been so successful.
You never know until you try.
And the ones that are successes, we'll follow up on those. And it's a way to bring new people into our audience. It doesn't necessarily mean that they're going to become lovers of Tchaikovsky and Brahms, but it does mean that there's a part of the RPO's programming footprint which is serving the different parts of the community.
Now, again, the RPO, one of the gems of the Rochester community, and you've been teaming up with other local organizations to kind of branch out even more and you know, working with the Fringe Festival, for example.
That's right. We're, as Rochester's orchestra, a part of what we need to do is put together programs that are about what makes Rochester, Rochester.
Sure.
And that includes finding partnerships with some of the other amazing arts and cultural groups here in town. The Fringe Festival, for several years, the RPO season has been opening during the Fringe Festival.
Works
so
out.
It's been a little bit of a disconnect. We have people coming downtown for Brahms and Prokofiev, and the hall is surrounded by all the Fringe Festival hoopla going on.
Sure, yeah.
And this year we decided, instead of contrasting with Fringe Festival, mm-hmm. that we would put together a fringy program to open the RPO season. And Ward Steer, music director of the RPO, has put together a fantastic program, which really fits into the fringe aesthetic. We'll be playing John Adams' Scheherazade Point 2, which is kind of a feminist retelling of the Scheherazade tale. We have Leila Josefowicz, this amazing violinist for whom that piece was composed, coming to perform the solo. And then on the first half of the concert, we have Mason Bates' Mothership. We'll feature a local DJ doing electronica with the orchestra.
Very cool.
We have a fantastic piece by Cindy McTee, and then Steve Reich's Three Movements for Orchestra. So it'll be a different thing for most of our core audience.
Right.
We may be pushing the boundaries of some of our core audience, but we're really hoping we'll get some of the fringe audience that comes to town to see those programs to come check out the RPO.
Now, it's like anything, pushing the comfort zone, it can be uncomfortable.
Well, it can be. And I think within our Philharmonic series audience, there are a group of people who are very traditional, mm-hmm. and they know and they love Beethoven and Brahms and Mozart. And they're not completely receptive when we push the boundaries and try new things. On the other hand, there are people who are really looking for new things and different experiences. They want to learn music, which they don't know. They want to learn composers they don't know.
Well, that's the thing. When you push your boundaries, it can be uncomfortable, and it normally is uncomfortable, but that's how growth is created.
That is true. And I think that's one of the things Ward Steer has done really well since he's come to the RPO, is he's had a good balance between American music and contemporary music and familiar favorites. And I think over the course of his tenure with the RPO, Ward's really started to build trust with the audience. And they know if they see some unfamiliar pieces on a program, they'll give it a try.
Yeah.
And Ward will do his best to sell it to them. And we're really excited to be presenting this program as part of the Fringe Festival.
Again, talking with Curtis Long, President, CEO of the RPO. What is it that you would like people to know, aside from the fact that you are kind of pushing the boundaries a little and trying new trends? What would you like people to know about the RPO?
I think the biggest thing I want people to know about the RPO is that we spend a lot of money on marketing the orchestra, but most of our marketing of the orchestra is about selling concerts. So we'll have ads saying, come see Ben Folds with the RPO, or come see the music of Elton John, or come see Return of the Jedi. I think the biggest thing we need to do better is really sell the institution and kind of the importance of the orchestra. We want people to know about all the education programs we do in schools. We want them to know about all the ways that our musicians make Rochester a better place to live and raise your family and work. We want people to know about how we go out in the neighborhoods and we present concerts throughout the greater Rochester region. We really are here for the entire community, not just for the people who know and love Brahms and Tchaikovsky and come on Thursdays and Saturday nights to the Eastman Theater.
Right. And those musicians, world class. And I don't know if people fully appreciate that we have this in our backyard.
I think that's a good point. For the size of the city and the budget size of the orchestra, we really have an extraordinary group of musicians. Some of that, I think, is because of our affinity with the Eastman School of Music. There are lots and lots of fantastic musicians who come to Eastman to learn how to play the violin and get their advanced degrees in instrumental performance. And while they're here, they get to know the RPO. They may study with an RPO musician, and many of them end up in the RPO, which is not to say that when we have auditions, we don't have musicians coming from conservatories all around the world to join the orchestra.
No, again, it's a fantastic piece of our community, and it's really encouraging to see that you are actively working to get involved in more events in the community, because it's a cyclical kind of thing. So if people want to know more, maybe they were listening and they thought, it'd be really cool to check out the music of Elton John. It'd be awesome to go watch, Return of the Jedi and have the RPO there performing along with them. Where can they go to find out more? Where can they go to subscribe? Again, you don't need to subscribe for the full season. You can kind of pick as you go.
The best place to get information about our season and all the different ways to buy tickets is at rpo.org, or you can call the box office, and I'm sure on this brochure. It has the numbers there. It's 454-2100. So we have customer service representatives who will be happy to find the right package to suit your needs. We have a whole variety of ways you can come to the RPO, including what we call compose your own subscription. So you can pick and choose. These four concerts look interesting to me. That's the subscription package I want to put together for my family.
Very cool. Curtis Long, President and CEO of the RPO, thank you again for coming in.
Happy to be here. Thank you, Corey.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.